Liveline on RTE Radio 1 with bonkers.ie, Ireland's favourite comparison and switching website. Visit bonkers.ie today and start saving on your household bills.
1850 715 815.
Hello, good afternoon, and you're very welcome to the Funny Friday election special. Guess we're here. We're here in the wonderful Clontarf Castle on the north side of Dublin, and we have a fantastic range of people here today. A lot of the canvassers are out, and they heard, of course they heard, the minute we were here, they wanted to get on the microphone. Taoiseach Leo Varadkar, how are you? Are you out canvassing?
It's been a very busy day. Thanks for asking.
You're in Catherine Noone's constituency?
I'm taking down most of her posters, actually.
And Taoiseach, we're obliged now, RT, after they've given us all this list. We have to ask every candidate for Taoiseach, have you now or have you ever taken drugs?
I answered that question before, very honestly, in hot press, but it was a long time ago. It was actually, I did it in the hot press. It was when Fianna Fáil left the immersion on, that's why I was there. But I think a lot of people have huge concerns about the coronavirus outbreak. But I'm more worried because there is a recent threat of a new emergence of foot and mouth. Though to be fair, the only person exhibiting the symptoms is Catherine Noone. I mean, Noone. Hashtag.
Michael Ring, Harry. Michael Ring, Minister for Rural Affairs. You're here. I know you're the biggest, best canvasser in the country. Big news, I'm told, on the Children's Hospital.
Well, listen, the first thing I want to say, it's a great privilege to be here in my own capacity here in the Clontarfs as the Minister for Rural Affairs. And I'm delighted to confirm that we're going to co-locate a nursing home on the site of the new Children's Hospital. And the reason we're doing that is because by the time the thing is built, the children that needs the hospital, they'll be old age pensioners.
Matty McGrath, independent Tipperary TD. The rural broadband, is it doomed, Matty? Is it doomed?
Well, look at Joe. I mean, I think the government at the moment, I mean, it's a pure farce. I mean, spending €2 or €3 billion on the internet. And I mean, let's be clear here. I mean, this is not for the people of Rhode Island. This is so that Leo Varadkar, God forbid, if he ever goes outside the M50, he'll be able to go on the internet looking at the YouTubes or the Twitters. And I mean, the people in Rhode Island, Joe, yes. We might be thick, but we're not stupid.
Pascal Donoghue, Minister for Finance, will if you don't mind, you look very smug, Pascal. Have you seen opinion polls from Sunday? Or?
Thanks, Joe. I didn't interrupt you, if I may. I'm delighted to confirm that this government have delivered a world-class health service.
Yeah.
It's called private medical insurance.
Michael Noone, former finance minister, Michael Noone is here. I should ask, you're a sage, wise politician. Will the Greens ever get into government, Michael?
Well, the one thing I'd say is this. I'd have a huge concern about the upsurge for the Green Party.
Why is that?
Because they say, Joe, that things come in three, bad things especially. I think the first thing they'll do is they're going to take away the diesel. The next thing they'll do is they'll get rid of the can of links because of the emissions. And if that's not bad enough, they'll take away the burger. And I'll tell you one thing, if we're not careful, we'll all end up as vegetables or vegans or whatever you call it.
Pat Spillane, Kerry football legend. Pat, Leo or Micheál, who'll win?
Well, look at, do you know something, Joe? When I was driving over here, look at, it got me thinking. Look at, the election, Fianna Fáil, Fine Gael, Micheál, Leo, tis a two-horse race. Will there be a winner? No. Why? There'll be a draw. The replay 3 weeks time in Croke Park.
Davy Fitzgerald. Davy Fitzgerald. It's mainly the other performers that are clapping. And you don't realise, Frank Ford, Nuala, Seamus, that if you clap, you're going to get less time because there's so much to get through. That's what I'm trying. That's I know. I've read your script. Yeah, I'm delighted as well. You're getting less time. Davy Fitzgerald is here. Davy, is it true you almost joined the Sunday game?
Look, all I'm going to say, you know, there was a fair bit of talk that I was going to go on the Sunday game, but all I'm going to say is the way you boys are doing the cutbacks out there on RTE, there's no way I'm going near that place. That's all I'm going to say.
Colm O'Rourke. Huge concerns for Brexit, I believe. I know you're a school principal.
Well, look, I think the one thing that I would say is that after Brexit comes in, next year's All-Ireland final, if it is one of the six counties, they'll end up playing it in Windsor Park.
Desi Cahill is here. You're always very welcome, Desi. How are you?
Thanks, Joe. Well, unfortunately, that's all we have time for, so see you all same time next week.
Mihal, I'm at a hurtig fight if he'll come to the tar too.
Well, no, the first thing I would say is throw an awful lot of dini on shock. That means a lot of people here. But the one thing I'd say about Clontarf, Toshi an the Yasser Fad, Och ni kiri e.
Ni kiri e. Got a man, got a. Aidan Tierney, by the way, from Tierney Talks. Well done. Back to you later. Okay. We have some we want to talk about today that's in it, Brexit, the border. We've invited Conal Gallan down. We told him it's first time on the show. And it's his last time on the show. Conal, how are you? Big interest in politics.
I live beside the border, Joe. I'd get a passport to come down here, you know. So, but no, I've no interest in politics because I think politicians, they're like nappies, Joe.
Why is that?
Because they have to be changed regularly for the exact same reason. What a shame. But
Coalition.
No, I'd hear stories, but I didn't know whether they're true. Did you hear about Leo going over to London?
No.
To visit the Queen, Her Majesty, Queen.
Yeah.
And he was all impressed with her. He says, he's not here, he says, how do you run everything so well? And she says, well, it's very simple. You employ intelligent people, you know. RTE haven't picked up on that one yet, But you say, and she, how do you know they're intelligent? She said, well, you ask them an intelligent question. If you get an intelligent answer, then they're intelligent. She said, I'll give you an example. There's a man outside coming in. He says, Mr. Johnson, come in here. Yeah, yes, Your Majesty. I'm going to ask you a little question for the Taoiseach here.
Yes.
It's a little riddle. It's very simple. He said, it's brothers or sisters, I have none, but that man's father is my father's child. Who is it? And Boris immediately said, it's me. He says, explain. He said, well, brothers and sisters, I'm an only child. She says, I'm an only child. My father's child has to be me. Jeez, Leo thought this is great, because home the next morning, called Simon in. He says, Simon, I have a question for you. Brothers or sisters, I have none. He said, but that man's father's my father's child. Who is it? And Simon's there, well, he'll teach you. That's a very good one. He said, I'll tell you what, I'd form a committee, and we'd probably call in some advisors and consultants, and I'd probably be back to you in about 6 years. And Leo couldn't believe it. He says, for God's sake, he said, I expected an answer immediately. If I don't have an answer tomorrow morning, you're gone. Simon's at a dinner dance that night. He runs into Brendan Howland from the Labour Party. He said, Brendan, he says, I'm stuck. I'm going to lose the job. He says, Leo asked me a question. I have to have an answer. So he said, what's the question? He says, brothers or sisters, I have none. That man's father's my father's child. Who is it? Brendan Howland said, me. No brothers or sisters, only child. Father's child has to be me. Simon strolls into Leo the next morning. Taoiseach, that little question, I didn't know the answer, I just forgot, he said. And he said, Leo said, well, brothers or sisters, I have none, but that man's father's my father's child. And who is it? And Simon said, it's Brendan Howland. And Leo looks at him, he says, yeah, gobsh. He said, it's not Brendan Howland, he says, it's Boris Johnson.
Brilliant. But Doc Savage is here.
I was just saying about the politicians right now. Now, Joe, for Christmas,
yeah,
I had a Fine Gael turkey.
Why? What's that mean?
Fine Gael turkey for Christmas.
Yeah, what's...
Two right wings. Fianna Fáil, Joe. Fianna Fáil can't get any insurance. You know why?
Why?
No one knows what policy they want. Am I right?
Yeah.
Labour are doing so bad at the moment in the polls, Madonna is going to adopt them. As for Sinn Féin and the Greens, I'm saying nothing for a while, but they're going to form a committee, right? And they're going to have the political 11th commandment. What's that, Joe?
I give up.
Thou shalt not commit thyself.
If the Greens and Sinn Féin form a coalition, Conal Gallan, what will it be called?
Guns and Roses.
Guns and Roses, right. And by the way, Joe, I always say about politicians, you know, they remind me of a kipper. Remember the kippers used to have?
Yeah.
Yeah. Two face, no guts.
Are we ready? Uchtar on the hair.
I'm waiting. I nearly fell asleep over there listening to you saying the same thing over and over again.
Welcome.
And you might be in Clontarf, you know.
Yeah.
But I'll tell you one thing, you know, don't overstep the mark because I could have you sacked out of RTE, but anyways.
Uchtar on.
Yes.
Welcome to Clontarf Castle.
Got a
mahogany. You exercise. Let's be topic. You exercise your constitutional prerogative to dissolve the 32nd Dáil and got the government, got the election underway under the terms of the constitution. Did you at any time? Can I ask you seriously, Uachtaráin? Did you at any time consider refusing on Taoiseach Leo Varadkar, refusing to dissolve the Dáil, which of course would have been your right as Uachtaráin na hÉireann, the most popular man in Ireland since 1932.
We're on about TDs there. Have you the DTs?
Did you ever consider refusing?
Yes,
refusing.
As a matter of fact, I did. You see, Joe, what you don't understand is that Queen Elizabeth and Philip had been over on a sleepover at the Oris the night before, and of course I brought Philip down to the local pub for a couple of pints. And between ourselves, Joe, Philip, he likes his pint. Cheers, he'd drink it out of a dirty Wellington. And we left the Queen and Sabina in the Oris, and of course they had a good bitch about us going off for a few scoops, as they did. And the following morning, did I know it, Joe, I had a head on me. I'd say I got a bad pint and 14 good ones. I was as sick as a small hospital. Got up about 12:30, the phone rang. Who was it? Only Leo. And he was wondering, could he come over and see me? And so what could I say? Well, when he arrived, I tell you something, not as much as a Swiss roll with him. The main old fella, so he did. I was just putting disparate into a glass and he asked me to dissolve it all. And I said, no, I can only dissolve one thing at a time. Come back in about an hour. And I says, by the day, when you come back, ring the doorbell with your elbow. And he says, why would I do that? Well, I says, you'll hardly come empty-handed. So I dissolved the Dáil later that day.
But Uachtaráin, would you say that the Fine Gael government, led by Leo and supported by the independence of Fianna Fáil, brought about economic and social progress through the lifetime of the outgoing Dáil? What has been, in your view, their outstanding achievements around Dublin?
Well, I think, Joe, I put it this way, this is the best little country in Ireland to do business in. For example, Dublin has the longest and finest car park in Europe, the M50. You reverse out your driveway onto the M50 and 5 hours later you haven't moved 200 yards and you have free car parking. And that's real economic progress. And again, Joe, our hospitals are the envy of Europe. This is a government that has identified the black hole in the economy's ozone layer, the children's hospital. And the government have, after many years, identified the difference between a house and a home. A home is where your children will put you, they get you out of the house.
But Uachtaráin, on a personal level, have you had many canvassers?
Oh, yes, I've had them all. I've had them all. Leo came canvassing and brought this antidiuretic wine. What do you call it? Pinot Noir. And, I didn't. And he promised me whenever I finish my term, I won't have to go on job seeker's allowance because I'll get the free travel, the TV, the free TV licence, the medical card, the butter vouchers, the whole lot.
But as President of the World, what do you say to canvassers when they come looking for their number one? You have to be
Mary
diplomatic.
Joan, could I tell them all the same? I assure them that I'll give them the number one. And when it comes to polling day, I just mark one opposite each of their names. And down at the bottom, I write, as promised. They can all feck off. I don't care anyways.
Well, can I ask, what is your opinion about voting, say, on a Saturday? This is the first time since 1932.
It's not a good day to vote.
Is it not?
Because I'll be out Friday night for a couple of pints, and Saturday is a duvet day. Blanket.
Sunday.
No, Sunday isn't a good day either, because I go to Mass, you see, and then we have the Sunday roast. And sure, I fall asleep beside the fire.
Monday.
No, Monday isn't a great day either, because I'm busy. I normally have a bath, because I'm getting ready for the Claire Byrne live show. Oh, she's gorgeous. She's a leg wobbler.
Did you watch the debate, by the way, with Claire Byrne?
I did. I didn't hear a word they said. I'm just looking at her. She's just gorgeous. Not a word.
Tuesday, Uchtaráin.
No, Tuesdays, no. I don't have a minute. Tuesday, because Sabina goes to get the lid done. And then she gets the eyelashes done and the nails manure and whatever.
Wednesday?
No, Wednesday's a bad day, because I collect my pension, the children's allowance, and I go on the local link bus and play a bit of bingo.
Thursday?
Well, look at, even Thursday or Friday, so they're no good either, you see. Thursday, I'm getting ready for Friday, and Friday, I'm looking back at Thursday and getting ready for Saturday. And sure, the week is gone. I'd favour any other day but one of them that you've mentioned.
But Uachtaráin, are you very dismayed with the Green Party? They want to get rid of the National Dairy Herd, the Suckler Herd? high amounts of methane that cows produce. Is that something you'd like to comment on?
Well, yes, but the Green Party are within Joe a whisker of scientifically developing the arseless cow. So in the future, there'll be no more poodly doodlies being produced. And in fairness, Fine Gael, the Minister for Agriculture, what do you call him, Michael Greed or whatever his name is, he's after developing, you know, in their manifesto, he's developed the bull with no arse. And to tell you the truth, I think that's a load of bullshit, but anyways. And in fairness to the Minister for Agriculture, he's putting a musical together in the Department of Agriculture to help farmers with the beef prices. It's a Fiddler on the Hoof.
So. But Uchtarán, I know you met the Queen recently. Did she talk about Harry and Meghan?
We had a good long chat, and I gave her a couple of glasses of sherry. And she gave me all the goss. I'll tell you the real story.
Oh, great.
Don't, whatever you do now, do not repeat this.
No one listening.
Because
anyway, just
if the Queen hears it, she'll know what came from me, OK?
Yes, Uchtarán, yes.
Now, from what I can understand, Harry and Meghan, they were renting a granny flat at the back of Buckingham Palace.
That's true.
From the Queen.
Yeah.
And she wanted them out. They were in rent arrears between ourselves. And she's putting them out of Buckingham Palace because she's putting Buckingham Palace up for sale, you see. And she gave them a month's notice.
A month's notice? Why would she want to evict them? Harry,
because
Meghan,
She said they won't do a hand's turn around Buckingham Palace. They're up half the night watching Love Island. They won't get out of the bed until 1 or 2 o'clock in the day. They leave the breakfast dishes in the sink. Harry won't wash a cup or a saucer or anything. And then she told me if Archie wakes during the night, you know, he's left into the Queen's bed. And he won't take a bottle from her. The Queen said that Archie, do you know what she told me? She says he's a proper little pup, spoiled rotten. And I think the reason he won't take a bottle from the Queen, because he's on draft.
But
you know what I mean?
No. Obviously, the relationship has broken down between the Queen and the royal couple. Is that true?
Oh, look, things are at an all-time low. The Queen told me that a couple of simple things, you know, that if she was going down to the shop now for 2 litres of milk, that Harry and Meghan that send a list of her Tato and Kit Kats and Maltesers and Club Orange and that never as much as give her a fiver for grocery or sweets.
But I have to ask you this this last question. The background, you know, we're obliged, RT, to ask all politicians, have you ever taken drugs?
What? How dare you? How dare you ask me that? I could have you sacked for asking a question like that.
I'm obliged.
You're not obliged to do anything, and anything you are obliged to do, you never do.
Have you?
Me. Joy. I tried coke one time.
Oh, no.
I did. I tried coke, but the bottle got stuck in my nose.
But Uchtarán, on the day, this historic day, 11 o'clock tonight, the EU, UK leave the EU. As President of Ireland, would you like to give a farewell message to our nearest and dearest neighbours?
Mm, well, you know, Joe, do you know what it's like? It's like, you know, the UK leaving the EU, it reminds me of, did you ever have visitors and there'd be a half an hour at the door and they'd be going home and they'd be going home and you'd be perished, so you would, and you'd wonder would they ever go out of your sight. But at the same time, Marouk, they're on here, and I'd like to wish the people of the UK, you know, the best of luck with an old Irish blessing. May the wind rise up in your back, may it never be your own. And may the road rise up in your face and hit you a welt in the mouth.
Uchtarán Éireann, good to meet you, Margaret. Frank Ford. Yeah, Concepta Riley is here. How are you, Concepta?
Great.
You didn't have far to travel today.
No, it's a great castle.
Were you in school today?
Yeah, it's a lovely castle.
Yes.
Yeah.
And you're not getting a day off for the election this year?
No.
Oh, no.
No. But I might get a day in lieu, or a day in the loo. Yeah. We'll see.
And when are you due back in school?
I'm due back... I'm back since Easter now, coming up, yeah.
Next Easter?
Yeah.
Have you written a little essay again?
Oh, I have, yeah.
And it's about the...
Yeah, you should know
the way of the world. Joke. Okay.
Yeah, great.
Concepta Riley, give up your old sins.
Thank you. Well, isn't Joseph the listener only delighted to have his followers come to his own land, Clontarf, It used to be Ballyferma. And Joseph the Listener took his people to the very place where a great battle took place in 1014. Now, that's the year. It doesn't mean it started coming up to a 10:15 of a morning. Anyway, Joseph the Listener, like Brian Boru himself, the High King of Donnybrook, makes his way across the bay every morning to do the battles on the airwaves. So now, isn't it time at last for the people of the land to choose their new leaders to sit in the temple? It's like rearranging the deck chairs on the Titanic. But sure, isn't it something to do of a Saturday in February? And the poor people of the land are crying out for help, and the elders and their hangers-on are knocking on the doors with the big smiles and the hearty handshakes, as if they were going to tell you that you just won the lottery. So there he was, Minister Doolittle, like Dr. Doolittle, learning to talk to the constituents, learning their language, trying to understand everything they say. Now, didn't one poor man at the door ask a simple question of Minister Doolittle? Will I get me pension, says he, at 65? Well, the answer he got was like a riddle wrapped up in an enigma. Minister Doolittle took a deep breath and let rip. Evidence-based research, he said, shows that funding streams are indicating slippage, resulting in social exclusion. We need to be productive while procuring additional funding streams in a robust manner while being proactive with our fiscal space, adopting a holistic approach, combining synergies while addressing the low-hanging fruit, as well as reaching out to the people going forward. I'll take that as a no, said the poor man at the door, who had aged about 10 years while listening to this sugar-coated answer. And with that, the poor man at the door introduced Minister Doolittle to Robbie the Rottweiler, who happened to be black and tan. Well, he never saw a fella go up a pole quicker than his poster. Now, weren't the people of the land engrossed, so they were, at the sight of Dermot the Designer Bannon, the only architect in the land, as he showed the people how he did up his own house. And unlike the good Lord himself, who said he could tear down the temple and rebuild it in 3 days, coming in on time and within budget, poor Dermot was running out of money, and he called on his good friend Dermot the gardener, Gavin, the only gardener in the land, to help sort out the garden. And it was like the garden at Gethsemane, where Dermot went to weep bitterly as he thought of what all this was going to cost. So to all the people of the land who might be thinking of doing up their houses other than putting up a few rolls of wallpaper, as soon as Dermot, the only architect in the land, comes through your door, your budget goes out your window. A big window from ceiling to floor, triple glazed and self-cleaning. But it all ended well with a lovely scene of the two Dermots sitting in a bath at the end of the garden having a drink, as you do in Drumcondra. Good afternoon.
Well done. We have to balance. Declan Callis, we have to balance. We're told we've just got a phone call before the next break. We've had too much Fine Gael. We have to have a Fianna Fáil on. Willie O'Dea.
How are you, Joe?
How are you, Willie? How are you? We haven't seen you around these parts for a long time, Willie.
Looking forward to coming next time. I'll be coming in the Merck.
But you haven't been around for a while.
I have to have a look at that there, Joe, if you don't mind. Cutbacks, you know, yourself. Well, of course I haven't been around for a while, because sort of like most of Fianna Fáil, I've been in hiding since 2011.
But you're a seasoned politician. You've been around Leinster House a long time.
Yes, I've been around for a while, but contrary to Fine Gael, propaganda and spin, I wasn't in the first Dáil in 1918, although I might have to look for a fella that was.
And is it the dirtiest campaign you've seen in a long, in your long political career? It's got very personalised attacks on Leo Varadkar in particular.
I never in my life said a bad word about Leo Varadkar.
Did you not?
I have great time for him. I have great time for Leo.
Interesting.
You ask me, the man has done the impossible. He's achieved what no political pundit thought could ever be done.
And what was that?
He's made Fianna Fáil electable again. He's even made Fianna Fáil popular again. Yeah, only a couple of years ago, Fianna Fáil was a dirty word. I remember well the last election with canvassing along Castle Tri. Jesus, I was going around in a crash helmet and full body armour. That time, Jesus, the black and tens would get a better welcome at the door than a Fianna Fáil canvasser.
And is it different this time round, Willie?
I remember, Joe, people were firing rotten tomatoes at us in 2016, setting their terriers at us. Now they're firing bouquets of flowers at us. It's unbelievable, Joe. A few short years back, Fianna Fáil bankrupted the place and the Irish people can't wait to put him back in again. I can't believe it myself.
And do you think we're supposed to be a very sophisticated electorate, are we not? One of the most sophisticated electorates on the planet, Willie.
You're joking me, Joe. Jesus, look around you. You're sure. Sorry about that there. Nothing personal there. Nothing personal, sorry. Jesus, Joe, the Irish electorate, they must have the memory of a goldfish with severe memory loss. Or else they're as thick as battled pig shite. If you'll pardon the unparliamentary language, nothing personal there. Not, just because I'm looking at you don't mean I'm talking about you. George, the resurrection of Fianna Fáil this time around makes Lazarus look like an amateur. This is the greatest comeback since the rumble in the jungle.
And what do you attribute this miraculous comeback?
Joe, I've been thinking about that now. Thinking of 27% in the polls. I've been thinking about it. I'm convinced, Joe, that Leo is a double agent. He was a sleeper. He was a sleeper in Fine Gael. He's been secretly working for Fianna Fáil for years, for Radcliffe. No one in the Fianna Fáil party could have done what Leo's after doing. No one. I'm telling you, Joe, we're on the way back. Happy days are together now. Happy days are here again.
Can I ask you, Willie, about your own personal ambitions? Do you envisage, do you have a hope, do you have an ambition to become...
You're a very nice fella, and I'm very, very fond of you. But I can't stay talking to you all day, Joe. I have an appointment with your namesake down in Joe Duffy Motors. I must go down and check out a new Merc with full white leather lining. I'm expecting a call very shortly from Micheál Martin to know what I serve
and would
once
you,
again.
Would you?
Joe, I do it in the national interest. Happy days are here again.
Willie O'Dea, we're here. We're here in Clontarf Castle, and we'll be back after this break.
Talk to Joe on 1850 715 815.
We're here in Clontarf Castle in the middle of the election. As you know, one of the election promises almost now from every single party is to reduce the pension age to 65, yeah. Given that. And this promise has been made to you by all the people who put the pension age up to 66, 67 and 68, but we believed them. And some of them did it down here, some of them did it up the north, but they all did it now. So we've decided the people that are disenfranchised, we've decided to look for some people that are 65 today. And if they win, if whoever wins next week, they would have got the pension, but they're not going to get it. The first man is John Keenan. John, how are you?
I'm good, yes.
You look very sad, John.
I am sad, Joe.
Why are you sad, John? Talk to Joe.
Another year to go before I get the pension.
Yeah. And what age were you when you started work?
16.
Wow. What did you work at?
Plumber.
Okay. And when did you realise you weren't going to get the pension today?
Oh.
Years ago.
Years ago.
And is it an election issue?
Yeah.
Okay. Are you voting tomorrow week?
Yeah.
I want to ask who you're voting for. Okay, John, but by the way, you might say happy birthday to him. Sorry, I know it's old.
Thanks very much.
Anyone else 65? Patsy, come over here. Patsy, go into the microphone there, Patsy. Patsy, it's your birthday as well.
That's right.
Come in there, yeah. And you're 65.
Yep.
Today, and were you looking forward to getting your free travel and your pension today?
Yeah, I thought I might get it at 66, but yeah. I realised recently, in 67.
Are you 67?
67.
Ah, for God's sake, think, Patsy. Yeah. How's your health?
Great, thank God.
Right, you live to 67. are you disappointed you're not getting your pension today?
Oh, yeah.
Did anyone, by the way, did anyone get the free travel today? Where's that woman that was talking to me? Bring her up here. Come over here quickly. What age are you, 92? We got the free travel today. You don't look, stand in there. What's your name?
Doreen Buckley.
And what's today for you, Doreen?
Free travel day, thanks to Charlie Hoy.
You're 66 today. Oh, well done. Yeah. There's your card. John Keane, you keep your hands off that card. You won't be getting it for another 12 years, the way things are going. Oh, and did you get the free travel out to Clontarf?
Yes.
Oh, not fantastic. Yes. That was your kind of inauguration of your free travel card. Yes.
Initiation,
yeah. Right. But well done. So we have some prizes for people who are disappointed today not getting the pension at 65. Mm. The wonderful John Keane from Clane in County Kildare. Is that right,
yes,
John?
That's right.
You are coming to stay in the Clontarf Castle until you're 68.
Great stuff.
And you've dinner for two.
Right.
Have you children and grandchildren?
I have children, yeah.
And grandchildren. Oh, good, yeah. Man. You see, I think it's sad. People, grandparents not getting the pension on the day you were promised you get your pension. Yeah. But anyway, there's some flowers for you. There's your voucher
thanks
for
very
the
much,
hotel. Sir. Your birthday cake, it's on its way over. We've to light. There's 65, that's 130, and 66. That's 196 candles. To you, happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to John Passy and Jesus. Happy birthday to you. Now, just as you can see, I just hope, I know sometimes they do listen in the air traffic control tower in Dublin Airport. We've lit 130. I did honours Mala, by the way. I was brutal on maths. That's 196 candles we have on this cake.
Wow.
I'm just saying to Dublin Airport, don't divert any planes over Clontarf Castle. These are not landing lights. They're 100. Happy birthday to the three. But there's the cake. The flowers are supplied by Celine's Flowers, and they are based, and it was their offer, by the way, the Unit 102 Village Green in Talla. Well done, Celine's Flowers. I've no idea. Where did the cake come from? Here. Oh, from, of course, to Clontarf Castle.
Wow.
The wonderful staff in Clontarf Castle. Thank you so much. So to our three birthday boys and girls, thank you very much. And we'll see you when the pension catches up on you, which should be about 12 years' time. OK, happy birthday to the three of you. Thanks for coming to Clontarf Castle. Doc.
You're talking about the pension, right?
Yeah.
The government have a new plan now to make sure people have money and they're 65.
Yeah.
They're going to make them poor at 35. By the way, Joe, you know what, at Christmas, you know, after Christmas, people are going around keeping fit, you know. A neighbour of mine, $3 a day, running up and down the road every day, keep fit, act fit, think fit, jogging. And he kept saying to me, think fit, look fit, act fit,
jogging.
Keep fit. And I met his wife a week later and said, where is he? He said, he's in hospital. I said, what happened to him? He said, he had a fit.
Okay, we have the day that's in it, we have to ask some of our friends from Belfast to come down. The wonderful Nuala McKeever, who's performed here in Clontarf many times in the wonderful Viking Theatre, is here. Nuala, big day. Will there be celebrations in Belfast tonight? What will happen at 11 o'clock?
I'll not be. I'm going to be rushing home to go to my mother's house because she gets RTE to be watching the Late Late Show because Arlene, our leader's going to be on the Late Late Show.
Arlene Foster.
Can I just say, before I get into Arlene, yeah. I've been struck by a few things about your election down here. A, you've only got a 3-week run-in period. That's really short. Most places, 6 weeks, 8 weeks. In America, they're just at it all the time. But then I was wondering, is that because the two main parties are basically identical, so you only need half the time down here? Yeah, that's what I was thinking. I was in Dunboyne last night, up Dunboyne College, woohoo! And I did a scientific poll of three taxi drivers last night. So of the three taxi drivers or anything to go by, let's just say FF and FG, well, they're effed. They've no chance. The definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over again and expecting a different result. So if any of you that have voted for them before thinking of doing it again, good luck. No, it's great. I mean, I know that the health and housing are the big issues, isn't that right? I mean, things are so bad. I was reading that there's people actually lying in trolleys in hospital corridors, and they're not even the patients. That's just the best accommodation they could find in the Dublin. But it is lovely to be here this evening, this afternoon with you. As I say, I'll be watching Arlene on the Late Late Show. I've kind of come down to be on RTE before Arlene. I'm kind of the John the Baptist, you know, to her. But I am not fit to tie the laces of her sandals. I don't mean I'm not good enough. I just mean I've broken my arm in 8 places. So I'm literally not fit, but I kind of feel sorry for Arlene. You know, she gets a hard press, but she's kind of like the girl who couldn't get a date, you know, to go to the Debs dance. She was very anti-sex, same-sex marriage, and yet she was happy to jump into bed with Theresa May. Well, I say jump in. Politically. All right, now I've got the measure of you. Okay. I love to imagine them in the ladies' toilets over in Westminster doing a bit of confidence and supply. Och no, Theresa, you look all right. Here's a wee spare pair of tights, you know, that kind of. But I love the graffiti on the wall. Theresa May, Arlene definitely would. And then Theresa, she got bucked out next thing. Arlene's doing a line with Boris Johnson. Graffiti in the toilets. Arlene loves BJ. Boris. Boris, come on, Boris Johnson. Then he dumped her and the poor girl is left, you know, with nobody to go out with. So instead of partying in London tonight, she's going to be in Dublin trying to get it on with Ryan. I mean, trying to get on with Ryan Tubridy. How bad does your life have to be that your idea of a hot date on a Friday night is Ryan Tubridy? God love her.
We love him.
Come and
we
have a
him.
Go if you think you're hard enough. No, she sort of smacks of desperation. She slagged Leo and Simon off for years and now she wants to be friends. She wants to foster good relations. See what I did there? Faucet, yeah, work that one out. But she's coming on there and she says she wants to build bridges between the North and the South. We're thinking she doesn't need to build bridges. She's done more for Irish unity than the IRA managed in 40 years. Everybody's getting passports and wanting to get out of wanting a united Ireland. In fact, the Republicans love her so much that they've now changed their slogan from Chucky our lad to Chucky Arlene. So I'd say to you, watch her closely on the Late Late Show tonight, because I actually think, between you, me and the wall, I think Arlene is down here and she's going to be seeking political asylum. So just watch out for the signs. It could be, you know, subtle things like rapid eye blinking, maybe a few hand gestures, maybe excessive yawning, but that could just be the Ryan Tubridy effect, of course.
Oh, that's very our hero.
I've never been on the Late Late Show and I'm never going to be on the Late Late Show. No, well, all we can say is, given that you're number one tax haven, I'm thinking with the big bucks that I'm getting paid for being on the show today, I might actually be joining Arlene tonight. So thanks for having me, August Chucky Arlene, August Chucky Arnula, and Slang of Oil.
A wonderful Nuala McKeever. It's called The Ballad of Tractor Boy.
Tractor boy came to town, to Dublin town, bubbling down the Navan Road on a John Deere 6930. He's shocking thirsty, on the road since 30:30. Bertie Ahern, remember him? A great farming man, grew a leek one time and had to go to the country. And now here's Tractor Boy up from the country, part of a convoy all the way from Tunnelloy, don't know where that is, somewhere beyond the M50. They've come on a peaceful protest showing rural disgruntlement for the departing government and those in the polls and on the polls, full of holes and cable ties. Photoshopped politicians telling photoshopped porky pies. And this young farmer is not quite sure what he wants to say, so he'll just say no for now. No to replacing his cow with magic beans. That's been tried before. He's no Jack and the Beanstalk, but fee-fi-fo-fum, he's just taken a wrong turn. He's strayed from the herd, gone the wrong way down a one-way street. And Tractor Boy forgot to take off the slurry tank before he left the house. Tempers are frayed, commuters delayed, a smell of poo in Dublin. Taxi drivers are doing car karaoke. A lad on a skateboard was fierce lucky didn't get hit with the tractor. Not so lucky with the spreader. It's like putting the whole city into a shredder. Bikes, buses, trams, transgenders, trucks, trains, transporters, Dublin supporters, street sweepers in odour eaters, Deliveroos in canvas shoes, someone's missus in a Range Rover and one very small fat child that could do with walking to school. Horns blowing, arctics revving, a distant siren, a jumbo jet flying low, low, low over Artane. But no methane gases to report in Dublin. No farts here, apart from old farts that will soon reappear in Leinster House. The flatulating philanthropists with our money in their fists, seesawing between good and squander, wondering which one will last the longer. Hey Google, how long does this song go on for? Meanwhile, Tractor Boy is still thirsty from eating crisps and working for peanuts. He pulls up at a spar in Drumcondra. He walks in, places his dirty black hands on the counter. A litre of milk, he asks, and leave the bottle. €1.05 the Tractor Boy pays, his thirst quenched, his anger raged. 31 cent he gets for milk from a non-recyclable Frisian cow. Wow, there's going to be a row. And parking the tractor in the bus lane was not a good idea. The rub-a-dub-dubs coming out of the pubs. No, 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 you can't leave that there. That's for the buses, the Dublin man's John Deere. The nee-naw, nee-naw sound of a gar the car, flashing blue lights surround a Drumcondra spa. Come out, you with the blackened hands. The cops are shouting like Wolf Tone fans. But don't ever underestimate our farmer's sons. Tractor boy falls down to his knees, says a prayer to Joe Dolan and to two of the Bee Gees. They all laugh at this young cowboy and tell him to give up his fight, and that's when he pulls the lever of the slurry tank and covers him in shite. Godspeed our rural rebellion!
The wonderful James O'Rourke. And here's the guards now. Garda Annie Flapfoot has arrived after that incident. Yeah, there she is. There she is, Garda Annie. How are you?
I'm grand, Joe. How are you? How's it going?
Yeah. Well, yeah, are you here on official business?
I'm here, and welcome to crime time. Yeah. Thank you very much. Thank you, Joseph. You're a fine cousin of mine.
Thank you very much.
Good evening.
Sending you the specs, sir.
Good evening. Yes. Gardaí are increasingly concerned about a series of break-ins at Garda stations where all the toilet bowls were stolen. The matter was raised at the annual Garda conference. A motion was passed, but the investigating officers still have absolutely nothing to go on. Following a crime spree in Cork, Inspector Aloysius McCarthy said he was looking for a man with one eye. If he doesn't find him, he's going to use both eyes. Now a message from Irish Rail. Would the person who left a package behind at Houston Station containing 4 bottles of whiskey, 2 bottles of vodka, and 3 bottles of brandy, please go to the lost property office where the man who found them has just been handed in. And finally, the result of a Garda survey which asked men if they would sleep with June Rogers were released this morning. 1% said yes, 2% said no, and 97% said never again. And remember, if you can solve some of these crimes, dial 999. If the lines are busy, dial 998 and ask them to hop next door and give us a shout. Thank you.
Well, here we are. Thank you, Garda Annie. And I know who to contact if we're ever in trouble. Though we've great Garda.
Oh, no problem, Joe. No problem at all. I look forward to taking down your particulars. I've a lot of experience in that area.
I'm sure. But have you arrested many people over the years?
Oh yes, I love the old handcuffs.
And you must have to be fit when you're on the job, so to speak.
Oh, are we talking about the handcuffs again,
no,
Joe?
No, I mean chasing criminals and long interrogations.
Oh yes, I like to do a bit of operation information.
You mean operation information? You mean operation transformation?
No, I mean if I don't get the information, you need an operation.
I believe you have a little ditty.
Well, I've more than a little ditty from where I'm standing, I can tell you, Joe.
Well, do you want to take it away, Garda Annie Flapfoot?
All right, here we go.
Fair play to
you. Oh, you horsey. Oh, you buyer. Oh, you buyer. Back in 94, down in Templemore, as a vanguard, I passed out. Now I pound the bees on the Dublin street with a face on me like a trout. If you take a chair and then drive your car, you'll be done, you mouldy skunk. You won't realise as your breath alized. I'm the bag who will find you drunk. I've a grand red neck and I don't give a heck that me feet are size 23. 'Cause I am the peril of a police scandal. I'm the pride of the Bengardi, yep, I am. In the Phoenix Park one night after dark, I had a mighty clash with the Dublin Jack in a plastic mech who decided on a quick flash. I grabbed him then by the Foray Glen, hit him with me batten twice. Now it's his desire to join a choir. As he sings in a high-pitched voice, now I might be crude with me attitude, Miss Ireland I'll never be, but I cause a storm in me own farm. I'm the pride of the Bengardy. There's this fine young guy who has caught me eye. He's a guard from me own hometown. We'd make a fine match if him I could catch and guess his particulars down. He's no Richard Gere, he's got sticking out ears. Nonetheless, he will do me fine. He may be fat, but he's a house in flats that he rents out in Rathmines. If we went begob, I'll give up the job and accept me gratuity. I'll move back west under house arrest. Whoa. And say goodbye to the Bengardy. Goodbye to the Bengardy. Thank you.
The wonderful June Rogers. We're here in Clontarf Castle and we'll be back after this break.
Talk to Joe on 1850 715 815.
Yes, welcome back to the wonderful Clontarf Castle. Katie Taylor is here. Katie, can I ask you, what does 2020 hold for you? You've just won 5 belts. Are there more to come, Katie?
Yeah, absolutely. You know what I mean? Just that's the way to go, really. And, you know, winning those 5 belts over the last few years has been great. You know, thank you so much for the support. It's just been amazing.
Katie, Conor McGregor has just walked in. Do you want to ask Conor a question?
Yeah, I mean, you know, obviously 40 seconds he beat that guy in, you know, it was great.
Now listen, I'm a very big fan of Katie Taylor. She's a very, very prominent opponent. I was very proud of her. She did a very good job. 40 seconds, I'm back.
But you're a changed man.
I'm a changed man. Listen, there was more respect.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? With Donald Cerrone, my opponent, I liked him very much so.
Mindfulness.
Mindfulness. There wasn't so much mindfulness for the last few years, but mindfulness
there.
You're
out of your mindfulness.
Whatever,
80 million, is that true, Connor?
$80 million, yeah, I made that much money. A lot of money, $80 million. That's a lot of money, isn't it?
Yeah, and what did I hear Mike Tyson, he gave you some advice. What was Mike Tyson's advice when he heard you were coming to Clontarf?
Well, I mean, Clontarf's a beautiful place and nice people. And you know, I love so much about the promenade. The promenade is so nice to go for nice little walks, and I think it's nice, though.
Chris Eubank, we're reading in the papers here. Your son's house, I'm sorry to hear this, Chris Jr., it was burgled last week. Were there any items of importance taken there?
Well, absolutely, there was. There was so many items that were taken from the house, but I managed to chase them down.
Oh, well done.
I sprinted after them, yes. I landed combinations on them, I got the items back, and I gave them back to my son. It was a wonderful reunion with those items, yes.
Jose Marino, how are you? You're struggling at the moment to get your star player. He's injured. Harry Kane, is that a factor?
I think so. I think Harry's a very important player. A very important player. We need the goals. And Harry provides the goals, and we cannot get the goals without Harry.
Harry Kane, will you miss Euro 2020?
No, literally, I'm looking to try and get fit for Euro 2020. That's that's my priority, and you know, hopefully, it all comes well, you know, and I recover from my injury, Joe.
Roy Keane. Yeah, how are you?
No, listen.
FAI. Are you happy with your?
Not the biggest fan of Niall Quinn. I wouldn't be his biggest fan. You know we've had our differences over the past few years. But listen, it's okay.
True he's going to look for some of the money back that he paid you over the last 5 years?
He won't be getting a cent of that.
Why not?
Tell him to try and come get it off me. Go on. Tell him to come down to Cork. Tell him to get a flight over to Manchester where my other house is. Go on, tell him to try. What are you looking at me like that for?
Robert De Niro, you must have been thrilled with your Golden Globe and your Lifetime Achievement Award.
What are you talking about? I didn't win any of that. What are you talking about? What's he talking about? Somebody tell me what he's talking about, huh? Somebody tell me, huh?
Joe Pesci.
How you doing, Joe? How are you? From one joke to another, how are you?
Eddie Murphy.
Man, you...
No, I'm going to ask you a question.
You better stop that. Come on, ask me the question, Joe.
not many people are aware of this, Eddie, but you...
Now, listen, Joe, sometimes you don't use the script. Sometimes you just go, well, or one after another, one after another. That's what he does.
But your grandfather, he was Irish.
He was. Frank Murphy from Kevin. What a wonderful man, believe me. I know Frank. Frank was a great man. He was a farmer, driven the tractors all the time. It was amazing.
Michael Douglas, how are you? You're getting great reviews for your Netflix serial. What's it called? Kaminsky and the Kaminsky Method.
Believe me, it's a great series.
Is it?
You want to watch it? It's fantastic. Me and whatever, Alan Alda, he's brilliant in it. I think I got the wrong
Alan. Brad Pitt, are the rumors true? Yourself and Jennifer?
Well, of course, a lot of people want me and Jennifer to get back together, but hopefully. I mean, she's beautiful. She's a great lady. Okay, all right.
We've the local here, Brian O'Driscoll from around the corner. Is Frank, very famous, all family well-loved here in Clontarf. Do you genuinely believe, Brian, that Ireland can beat Scotland tomorrow afternoon?
100%. Absolutely. I mean, we've got a great chance in there, and we just need to... As simple as, don't bottle it like we did the last time.
But Ronan O'Gara, you're just a picture of joy and excitement, Ronan. Are you looking forward to the Six Nations?
Yeah. Can't wait. It's going to be great crack all together, you know.
Pádraig Harrington, are you excited about being the captain of the 2020? The year has now arrived. The Ryder Cup team, your captain, Irish.
Well, judging by your tone there, Joe, that was very pessimistic of you. I am looking forward to it. We've got some of the best golfers in the world. We have the Open champion on our team, so...
Brian Kerr, I know, Brian, you're very anxious to comment on the changes in the FAI. Do you think it's... Think it's on the way back? Are you happy with the appointment of Niall Quinn?
No, it's absolutely incredible. The strides forward with the FAI is fantastic. And they get someone like Niall Quinn on board, who's a football man, true and true. I'm absolutely delighted with it, Joe, yeah.
Eamon Dunphy, you stood by John Delaney over the years. You were at his 50th birthday party. Do you have any regrets?
I still stand by John Delaney. He's a great guy, baby. Wonderful guy. Sent him a few letters in the post just to see how he is. He'll be on my podcast, The Stand with Eamon Dunphy, the most popular podcast in all of Ireland, baby.
Where's Rita McGill? Where's Rita? Rita, come on, how are you, Rita? It's your birthday today.
It is indeed, yes.
And he can do. Who do you want to wish you a birthday? Do you want Morgan Freeman, the actor? Do you want Kim Kardashian? Do you want Donald Trump? Oh, who would you prefer?
Well, I think I'll have Donald.
Okay. Come over, Donald. Donald, would you like to sing? Would you like?
I mean, they say I don't have any supporters. Rita, happy birthday, baby. Happy birthday.
Do you want to sing happy birthday to her, Donald?
I'll sing absolutely, 100%. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to Rita. Happy birthday to you.
And Rita, would you like a kiss off Donald Trump?
No, thanks.
Okay. But happy birthday, Rita McGill. There's flowers and a few presents for you as well. Rita McGill, we're here in Clontarf Castle. Okay, we're here in Clontarf Castle and we'll be back after this break.
Talk to Joe on 1850-715-815.
The expenses.
There's a woman down there, have her hand up.
Lads, hang on. Michael Healy Ray, come up here, please. You can't be selling those tickets here. I know you're... It's not even a legal draw, apparently.
Ah, so look at...
What are the main issues on the doorsteps?
The main issues on the doorsteps, there's no doubt about his health.
And it's hard to blame people because the health is in a shambolic.
Shambolics.
Why?
One week there, back in November, when the flu was gone, half the population of Kilgarvan was on trolleys inside in Kirrigan and Hospital. Half of them, and they're spending their time scooting around the wards on their trolleys.
I start myself day in and day out, Joe, and going to canvass them or visit them was a...
And where were they? They were scooting on
it. The problem with the trolleys is that they gives people, the patients, too much mobility.
Blast them, they were...
And these fellas wouldn't be used to that much mobility.
And where were they also? Where were they scooting all over the place in trolleys? Where were they scooting to?
An excellent question, Joe.
Is an excellent question, and...
If they weren't going,
They were going to the off-license, one elderly fella called Matt Dunbar.
He was from the far side of Shatton the Glen. He scooted out of the NE one morning at 9 o'clock. Jed, they didn't miss him, Joe, till they started bringing around the cups of tea at half 11.
The guards and all
were called.
The guards managed to locate the poor man.
Oh, they did. Sergeant McGinnicuddy from the local barracks eventually apprehended him down in Paddy Powers. And he's still on his trolley.
Still on his trolley, down the bookies.
Isn't that what I'm saying? Down in the bookies, still on the trolley, and he's swinging his saline drip over his head. Like a mad whore.
Unbelievable. What happened to
Sergeant? That's what happened to Sergeant's face. Yeah. When Sergeant McGillicuddy stuck his head around the door of the bookies, he got the smack of the saline drip full force into the gob.
I presume they immediately arrested
him. They tried to draw, but geez, they didn't know who they were up against. Matt Dunbarn, he bolted out the door in his trolley down High Street, and geez, that's a very steep hill, Joe, you know, High Street. And then the trolley now going full belt, wasn't it, Denny? Leather. 60 around the corner, and they threw out the spikes to slow him down. He was clock doing 60, and he rounding the corner on his trolley at the Glacombara Hotel.
It's awful.
Two wheels,
and he hit the spikes, and he was catapulted straight into the Glacombara Hotel, landed on the laps of three receptionists, checking in a busload of Americans.
There was pandemonium.
They were all going around the Yanks shouting, dial 911, call 911.
The Glacombara's under attack, the Yanks were saying.
They thought it was a missile attack.
Because, you see, they didn't know who Matt Dunbarn was. They thought he was a long-range missile.
How are things in Glacombara?
Joe.
Good
not
life.
Funny.
Not funny, Joe.
Not funny at all.
I like now. I mean, apart from the trolleys, what else is enlivening people down in Kerry?
Well, Joe, you have to say that the other big question now on the doorsteps is the drink driving permit.
It is.
Because the trolley crisis and the drink driving permit crisis are very closely intertwined. You could say they'd be the same cheeks.
The two cheeks of the one arse.
Two cheeks of the one arse. And because the big problem in the country is not drinking, but the lack of drinking. Long ago, when people were free to drink unmolested by the guards on a Saturday night,
there was no hospital crisis.
There was no talk of trolleys then. The problem, and I've been saying it for years, is people are not drinking enough.
Right.
No doubt about it. In the wide earthly world, that's why the NEs are overflowing at the weekends.
This is all as Operation Transformation.
Every single thing that we are doing, they're watching
like
us.
Like hawks.
What's that you're eating? You can't be eating too much, mate. There could be gluten in it. Jeez, you do harm to yourself. I wish they'd all shag off and left country people ate their dinner in the middle of the day like we used to. Ha! Huh? Is that too much to ask? And another thing, there'd be none of it at all if the guards were made to do a 9 to 5 like every other fella, and then if they're wanted after 6 o'clock, they'd be called up.
Call them or send them.
That's a good idea, yeah.
In every hedgerow and moray, the boys in blue they can be seen, striking terror into people driving home. Tish and Ross have sent them out to stop them drinking stout, and to close the pubs of rural Ireland down. All this talk of greenhouse gas, they can shove it up their ass. 'Tis a load of shite, and here's the reason why. Only God is in control of whether it is hot or cold. It has nothing at all to do with fossil fuel. Do you want to take a job? Buy one now before we go and help elect the kingdom's favourite sons. If the tickets we can sell, we can serve the people well, and let all the other candidates go to hell. But me, Malcolm Gallagher, we
the wonderful Paddy O'Callaghan and Frank Toomey, and this is Sharon Mannion.
This is a song about Leo and his recent admissions, shall we say. It was rag week in Trinity. I was new and looking for someone to meet. Talk to a boy from Castleknock. He caught my eye because he wore novelty socks. In decent shape, I was impressed. I thought that he'd make a good minister for health. Went to a party down the road. What happened next made all my innocence explode. Puff, puff, puff went the Taoiseach. Bong, bong, bongs everywhere. Slow, slow, slow went his heart rate from the moment he took an inhale. Spin, spin, spin went the ceiling. Red, red, red went his eyes. Roll, roll, roll went the papers. But he swears he never did a line. He played some Kyle, he told a joke. Said his name was Leo and he was so woke. He asked my name, I barely spoke. I couldn't move because I just had half a toke. He showed me round, we ordered food. Someone called Coveney came and pushed him in a mood. I said, great Pat, your landlord must be nice. He said, I bought my place when I was 25. Puff, puff, puff went the Taoiseach. Bong, bong, bongs everywhere. Slow, slow, slow went his heart rate from the moment he took an inhale. Munch, munch, munch on some pizza. More smoke, smoke, smoke in the air. Ming, ming, ming on the mobile. I said, who's that? That's my friend. He's called Luke and he might stop on by. Next thing he was outside. And I thought to myself, Leo asked, he should would be nice to see. With Ming as his dad.
Sharon Mannion, Declan O'Brien, are you right there, Megan? Are you right? Take your time, Jan, we're on till 7 o'clock. We're over in about 4 minutes. I have about 8 different acts to get in.
100 years since Percy died. Over in Buckingham Palace, things they are in disarray. Since the terrible news it was broken, Prince Harry is stepping away. Great Britain, it went into mourning for the loss of their red-headed prince. And most of the subjects in England have gone into counselling since. And as he packed his bags to leave, Harry said some words like these. Are you right there, Meghan? Are you right? Let us both clear out of town before tonight. Tell the Queen I'd simply dread it, 'cause she might have me beheaded. So she might, now Meghan, so she might. So the Queen, she met with Prince Harry and heard what he had to say. And much to Harry's surprise, she wished him all the best on his way. One will need to get to the airport, and as your granny, if you will allow, as a gesture of my good faith, I'll get Prince Philip to drive you there now. And as Philip drove and Harry prayed, these are the words he may have said. Are you right there, Meghan? Are you right? I think you'd only have to book one flight. For my granddad, he is driving, and my chances of surviving are quite slight. Now, Meghan, they are slight. For Prince Philip, he is driving, and my chances of surviving are quite slight. Now, Meghan, they are slight. Boom, boom.
Oh, what about Declan O'Brien? Declan O'Brien, and we'll be back after this break.
Talk to Joe on 1850 715 815.
Heading back to Donegal, Connell.
I'm heading off to Carrick and Shannon.
Oh, good man, yeah.
Sold out, yeah.
You sold out years ago.
Yeah. No, I was listening there to Nuala McKeever and they're talking about Arlene, and I'm looking forward to seeing that tonight because I shouldn't tell you this, but her husband, before Christmas, decided to get her something. Nice, you know, because I'm wondering what she's wearing. So we decided for Christmas to get her some sexy lingerie. You know,
you see, for Arlene, yeah, okay. I don't know where this is going.
So He went into the shop and he arrived at the checkout. The girl behind the checkout recognised him. And do you know what he bought, Joe? He bought, a 3-pack of thongs.
Yeah.
And I mean, you know yourself, Joe, a thongs. It's the only good thing about a thong is it's good for spitting a fart. That's about all it's worth, yeah? But the girl behind the desk, she recognised him. She looked at the thongs. It was actually a 3-pack. They all had the tricolour on them.
Oh, did they?
Yes. She said, I'm very surprised you're buying those. I thought you'd have bought the ones with Union Jack on them. And she said, well, you know our Arlene, she won't take down the Union Jack for anything.
I'm just saying, Joe, there's a fella in court in Dublin one day,
yeah.
And he was charged with stealing a packet of rashers out of a supermarket.
Yeah.
And the judge said to him, how do you plead? He said, guilty.
The day that's in it, we have to finish the programme with a very special guest flown after being in Downing Street this morning saying it's the dawn of a new era. Boris Johnson, you're very welcome.
Thank you for the warm welcome.
You've had your own elections.
I've got to because it's all, if we look at the grand scheme up, it's me. Look, we had our elections in December, and it's fabulous to have got that behind us and to be moving forward. I tell you, it's not easy to spend that long in a fridge.
But I asked I told the audience you were coming, and security, we couldn't give the name.
The
last few minutes, we just said Boris Johnson. One question someone handled. Prime Minister, actually, respect. Yeah. Why do you say such stupid things?
Why do I say such stupid things?
Yes.
Excellent question. Well, you see, I went to Eton. And all we were taught there really was how to recite the Iliad through a mouthful of beef Wellington. That and how to properly flog a native. So that's pretty much it in a nutshell. In a nutshell.
And you must be happy about Brexit Day.
Oh, it's a wonderful, wonderful, glorious, glorious opportunity. And I have my manservant here, Jacob Jeeves Mogg. He's going to read you the menu Brexit, the Brexit Day menu that we're all having tonight with my guests. So,
thank you, Prime Minister. The menu is as follows. For starters, we are going to have the chlorinated chicken supreme on a bed of bombast and xenophobia. That will be followed by Little England gammon with a side of Farage fries. And for dessert, we have two options. We have complete and utter Eton mess or lying toad in the hole. Washed down with some truly foul English wine. No German or French produce, if you please.
Well, we have to put it to you on. You're the typical bulldog Britisher. We want to just finally announce the last bit of news today, breaking news. Daniel O'Donnell. Daniel.
Yes.
You're standing in the election.
I am, Joe, in Kincashla, South Central.
And what are your policies? You say the state of dental care in Donegal is truly non-existent.
Oh, my God,
and you've had first-hand experience.
First-hand experience, Joe. I went to a dentist recently.
Yeah?
And he said to me, I'm going to have to pull out your bad tooth.
Okay.
I was terrified, Joe.
Okay.
I won't put a tooth in it.
Yes.
He gave me an injection up in the gum, and luckily my wife, Bongella, was there. She's so soothing. Next thing, he handed me a fistful of tablets. I said, are these painkillers? He said, no, they're Viagra. And I says, will they kill the pain? He says, no. He says, but they'll give you something to hold on to while I'm pulling the tooth. And that's the tooth, the whole tooth, and nothing but the tooth.
Frank Ford. Liam Harrigan, all the Funny Friday crew. Thank you to Clontarf Castle. Thank you to our producer, Tara Lockery-Grant. Our special assistant today did a brilliant job. Fiona Ford and Richie Byrne, Laurie Davis and Fergus Sweeney back in studio. And Kieran Cullen and Andrew Kane and Nicky Dempsey back in studio on sound. Thank you to Clontarf Castle. Good to meet them all. Good. Enjoy the rest of the weekend.